Today, President Biden asked Congress for nearly $106 billion in aid for Ukraine and Israel. He linked the two in his Oval Office speech last night.
You know, history has taught us that when terrorists don't pay a price for their terror, when dictators don't pay a price for their aggression, they cause more chaos and death and more destruction.
President Biden spoke about the brutality of the Hamas attack on Israel. He also addressed Palestinian suffering and called for peace.
As hard as it is, we cannot give up on peace. We cannot give up on a two-state solution. Israel and Palestinians equally deserve to live in safety, dignity, and peace.
For more, let's bring in Jonathan Geyer. He covers foreign policy and national security for Vox. Jonathan, welcome.
Thank you.
So, Jonathan, you've been critical of Biden's stance in this conflict. We've seen him hug Netanyahu. But last night, he spoke about Palestinian suffering, anti-Semitism and Islamophobia. He also announced $100 million in humanitarian assistance to Gaza and the West Bank. Are you sensing a shift in Biden's actions? Was this enough?
So I think the president is correct that we are at an inflection point with this conflict. And I've been covering the Middle East for over a decade. I have never been so frightened about it being on the precipice of a wider conflict. And obviously the U.S. can't do everything, but it is, as President Biden, citing Madeleine Albright's coinage, is the indispensable nation and Israel's closest partner and security guarantor. So I think the things that maybe President Biden has been saying behind closed doors to Prime Minister Netanyahu, it's time to come out more strongly. I mean, the numbers are just staggering in terms of the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. And this $100 million of aid for Palestinians just doesn't add up for the severe, severe crisis that is ongoing.
And what do you think, Jonathan, he may be saying behind closed doors to Prime Minister Netanyahu?
Yeah, I think President Biden came to Israel to obviously acknowledge this monstrous tragedy, this ongoing kidnapping crisis. It's absolutely horrific, but I think behind closed doors, he's urging following the rules of war, ensuring that this humanitarian crisis doesn't spill out of control. And what is really needed is the kind of hard-nosed diplomacy that could bring forward a ceasefire. And the U.S. just used its veto in the United Nations against a resolution that had very softened language for a cessation of hostilities.
And Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield defended that veto. She said the original resolution would undermine diplomatic efforts in the conflict. Why do you think publicly the U.S. is not pushing harder to stop Israeli attacks on Gaza, to stop a ground invasion when, as you said, the situation is just so dire inside of Gaza and people are struggling for their lives?
Of course, Israel sees this series of Hamas attacks as its 9/11 and obviously Biden's warning not to respond in rage and revenge and some of the tragic missteps the United States took over two decades ago. But I think that much more needs to be done in terms of this crisis is now entering its 13th day and almost 4,000 Palestinians have been killed across Gaza and also in the West Bank. And the perception in the Arab world is just of outright anger at U.S. policy.
Yeah, I mean, and President Biden would say Israel was brutally attacked by Hamas, 200 people still being held hostages. There are a number of countries that do not recognize Israel, and many believe, like the president does, the U.S. has to back Israel very strongly to protect it. So it's a fine line. How can the U.S. give Israel the support that it needs while also working to resolve the conflict in the region?
This is a fundamental challenge of U.S. policy, and I think it goes back to a flawed U.S. policy over many administrations, including the Trump administration, which Biden took up, a policy of making peace, normalizing relations with Arab states, and leaving Palestinians behind. And I think that equation has been shown to be remarkably flawed at this point. There's no excuse for the violence that Hamas has pursued. But by not pursuing a policy of Palestinian rights and freedoms and just talking about a so-called two-state solution as a pie in the sky, not actually working for it, we're in a situation that is just so dangerous and combustible that I think President Biden has to take some risks and actually speak out as a friend to Israel and say, this is going too far, because eliminating Hamas is not a policy. I think solving this tragic kidnapping crisis, hostage crisis, is urgent. But at this point, 1 in 20 houses in Gaza have been destroyed. There's barely enough food and water for the coming days, not enough bakeries, hospitals, medicine. This is going to have a really tragic knock-on effect that is only in the president's control for the next few days.
And Jonathan, some would say it almost doesn't matter what the president says. It's the actions of sending more weapons, billions of dollars worth of weapons to Israel that will facilitate this continuing.
Exactly. I mean, when the president speaks of an arsenal of democracy, a kind of Cold War throwback, most of the world just hears arsenal and military-industrial complex. And the U.S. is going to need its partners and allies across the world to address the crisis in Ukraine, to address what Israel and Palestine is facing. And I just fear the president has alienated just about everybody besides American voters at this stage. And by the way, the progressive wing and Arab Americans, Muslim Americans, Palestinian Americans are watching and wondering, are we going to vote Democrat ever again?
Jonathan Geyer covers foreign policy and national security for Vox. Thank you for joining us, Jonathan.
Thank you.